Our scripture lesson this morning, we actually have two, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. From the Old Testament, Leviticus 19, 33 through 34. And this is the New Revised Standard Version. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And in Matthew, we have chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm astonished to see so many people here because I know that last Sunday was the bishop's visit and a huge celebration. So thank you for getting up this morning and coming to church. As Melissa said, I'm Graham Bateman. I'm the director of Justice for Our Neighbors, which is a Methodist immigration ministry. So if you don't remember anything else about the message today, please remember that the Methodists have an immigration ministry. So if you love what I talk about today and you love the messages, join us, volunteer, get involved, get on our board. If you hear what I talk about that we're doing with your immigration ministry and you don't like it, get involved. Get on our board because this is your ministry. So the question that so many people ask me is, why is this a ministry of the church? Why immigration? And who do you serve? Well, we spun off of UMCOR back in 1999 because UMCOR realized that there's a growing number of immigrants in our communities, and that immigration law was getting so much more complicated. It hasn't gotten any simpler since 1999. And they said that it's wrong that people who can afford to pay $5,000 to $10,000 and up for an immigration attorney can get everything that they're entitled to by law. Whereas if they're poor, they go to someone who's not a lawyer, who maybe is trying with all their heart to help, but gets it wrong, because there's huge consequences for getting it wrong in immigration. So that's part of the reason that we have Justice for Our Neighbors, your immigration ministry. It's a nationwide group. Here in North Central Texas, we serve the North Central, the Central Texas Conference and the North Texas Conference. So that's a little bit about the why. Although whenever I think about the why, the reading that we heard this morning that talks about how Mary and Joseph and Jesus were immigrants always reminds me that how important this is to all of us. So let me tell you about the who, just a little. One of our clients, Isabel, came from Jamaica on a student visa to study nursing. And like all young people do, she fell in love. And she married a young man a year ahead of her in the nursing program who's a U.S. citizen. And they had a plan that she would drop out of school and support him since he was a year ahead. And then when he graduated, it would be her turn to go back to school. And so far it was a great plan until they went to an immigration attorney after she had dropped out of school and discovered that the fees alone to the government were going to be about $2,500 plus attorney's fees. And so they decided, well, we can't afford that right now, but they were going to save up money. But by this point, Isabel is an undocumented immigrant, an illegal alien, and the only job she can get is scrubbing floors in a hospital and cleaning houses at night. But he goes back to school, but things don't go well. He fails one of his classes. He starts drinking. And let me tell you, starting to drink did not improve his grades. And then she got pregnant, and everything was so much better for a while. But then he started drinking more and just not going to class. And please cover your children's ears, because he became not only verbally abusive, but physically abusive. And there was nothing she could do, because he told her, if you call the police, if you tell anyone, I'll have you deported, and you'll never see your child again. Talk about a threat. You'll never see your child again. And that happens so often, that threat of, I'll have you deported. But fortunately, somebody that she worked with in that hospital where she scrubbed floors noticed the bruises one day and got her to a shelter, her and her child, and the shelter sent her to JFON. Because Congress has said that this is not, in the United States of America, we don't allow this. This is wrong. And so Congress has, when they enacted the Violence Against Women Act, that if you are married to a U.S. citizen who is abusing you and holding that threat of immigration over your head, you can apply for your own green card. So she didn't have to wait for them to save up enough money and for him to decide that she deserved that green card. She could apply on her own. So Isabel, it takes a while. It took about 2 years. And then one day I had the pleasure of calling Isabel to say her green card had arrived. And the shout of joy that she gave over the phone, and she screamed out, she said, there is a God. You cannot tell me there is no God, because he is in my life. 2 weeks before, she had graduated from nursing school. The day before, she had gotten a job offer at a hospital as a nurse. And she said, and today I got my green card. I have 2 weeks before I start to work, and tonight I'm going to get on a plane, and I'm going to go home to Jamaica, and I'm going to see my daddy. Because she hadn't seen him for 12 years. And she sent us a picture of her and her daddy, and I've never seen two happier people than that reconciliation. And she said to tell everyone, whenever I share her story, she said to tell them thank you. Because she's so grateful, and she could never have done it alone. So that's some of the things, one of the things that your ministry does is providing excellent legal services for individual clients who need that help. But we do other things. I know you heard about the raids in Mississippi and even here in North Texas when they had raids on workplaces and people were detained in buses and detained. And you heard about the children who were sleeping in the school gyms because nobody was authorized to pick them up. Here in Paris, there were 30 children, almost all of whom were U.S. citizens, sleeping in the school gym on borrowed cots for 3 or 4 days until one of their parents was released to take them home because nobody was allowed to take care of them. Well, we can fix that, and we do. We hold family unity days, days when people come in, parents who one or more is at risk of being deported, and you know every parent should have this. They set up guardianships for their children. And it's so important to these children to give them that sense of security because they hear every day on the radio, at school, on Facebook, what might happen to their family and to them. But we set it up. There's a guardian who's going to take care of the children. The parents know how to get hold of that guardian. There's no concern that those children, U.S. citizens, are going to get lost in the foster care system. Because here in North Central Texas, We don't want that to happen. And we work so hard to make sure that our children are safe and protected, and they'll never be separated from their families. We also hold workshops and citizenship days. So as you go get your coffee and your donuts, very good donuts, thank you, you'll see decorations that look like the 4th of July has come a little bit early. Well, every fall, the American Immigration Lawyers Association hosts free citizenship days all across the country. And this year, the main one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area is going to be here in Coppell. It's going to be on Saturday, October 26th. And immigrants who have been legal permanent residents, sometimes for many years, are going to come, work with volunteers from your church. I hope that means you. And fill out all of their applications. Then our volunteer attorneys are going to review it to make sure that everything is legally correct, that they have all the paperwork they need, and then we send it in. And about 4th of July 2021, all the people that we help at Citizenship Day at the end of this October are going to be sworn in as new American citizens. And we'll be sending your church notices. We'll say, okay, on this day, please pray, because this person that your church helped is taking their exam. And we'll send you invitations so that if you want to go see that immigrant that you now know, that you've shared stories with, that you've worked with, that immigrant who is now no longer an alien, they're a neighbor. If you want to see them sworn in, you can go and join them. It's one of the most beautiful days ever. Because, you know, you're not just helping this individual. You're changing their family's life. And this church and our volunteers are going to become a part of that family's history. Because at Thanksgiving, you know, that's when we all talk. I know it, in my family we talk about how one of my ancestors was in the Scottish Guard, and he was sent to Ireland to suppress the Irish. And he married an Irish girl, and her father had tried to pay him off not to marry him, and they took the money and the girl, and he escaped to America. Well, part of their stories are going to be, yeah, and this is when mom or grandma or great-great-grandma, as it goes through the years, got her citizenship. And they're going to talk about the church and the people that helped her. And they're going to talk about the church that prayed on the day that they took that exam. So I have to tell you, you need to look for one of the people who's going to be coming for Citizenship Day here in Coppell. Is 68 years old. She's been a legal permanent resident for 25 years. And she's decided that now is the time that she's going to apply for U.S. citizenship because her future's in America. Isn't that amazing? At 68 years old, you suddenly embark on a course of study and perfecting your English and making that commitment because this is where your future is. So I hope you'll join us as a volunteer in those upcoming days. And now let's talk a little bit about the why. Well, part of it is what a direct message we got today. Don't oppress the alien. Love the alien as yourself. That's a pretty clear message of what we're supposed to be doing. So that's what we try to carry out at Justice for Our Neighbors, your immigration ministry. But there's another reason. And this is when it gets serious. This is when the rubber hits the road. Because if you look at Matthew 25:31, that's where Jesus is telling us how the day will come when they separate the sheep from the goats. And he says, one of the things that he's going to look at is, did you welcome the stranger? Did you invite the stranger into your home? How did you treat the alien among you? And I want to be one of those sheep. So on my days off, I go and I volunteer. I help other groups renew DACA. I help other groups with their citizenship. Because I'm not doing this just to help others or just because it feels good. I'm doing this because this is part of my salvation. So So I hope you make this a part of your salvation journey too. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a brief prayer. God, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for opening our hearts to the aliens among us. Help us welcome them as neighbors. Invite them into our churches. Invite them into our homes. Invite them into our lives. And God, let us grow and enrich ourselves from this association. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.